This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for how you have helped us and how you are willing to help us. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge your help. You said you would remind me. You bring me into remembrance of thoughts. And you inspire my utterances. Holy Spirit, I'm open and I'm willing. Under our daddy in the house, you promised to fill this house even with yourself, even with your presence, that everyone would hear and understand. The heart to begin to palpitate towards you and gravitate towards having intimate fellowship with you. That nobody here would go back home and remain the same. That there will be a cry in the heart, a longing in the heart, a fervent desire for devotion, even unto you, Holy Ghost. Thank you so much, our Father, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. So what we started learning about 3 weeks ago, the theme has been maintaining the Spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love, and bearing fruit of the Spirit. Can we say amen? Amen? And today we are in lesson what? Lesson 3. The topic for today is Spirit-filled fruitful life. We did the first part last week. And the recap of what we did last week, I'll just quickly go through it. We learned that Old Testament saints had a measure of the Spirit upon them and bore fruit because they yielded to the Spirit. Today, even with the full indwelling of the Spirit, many believers fail to bear fruit due to not walking in the Spirit, lacking communion, and not staying continually filled. Life in the Spirit begins with actively and continually acknowledging and engaging the person of the Holy Spirit within the regenerated spirit. Though the soul still carries traces of dead works, the process of surrender is gradual. As the Spirit is made alive, the soul also learns to walk and live in the Spirit. A Spirit-filled life is a will-aligned life, consistently marked by repentance and obedience. It is not about spookiness or showmanship, but about surrender and alignment with God's will. All righteousness, all goodness, and all truth are proofs and characters of a Spirit-filled life. We are going to quickly read our text for today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7 to 21, just 2, and Philippians 1, 9 to 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 7 to 21. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of the Lord. Philippians 1:9-11. One to go. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. What we are looking at today is one thing. We want to show the attitude and personality of the Spirit-filled believer for nature formation and fruit-bearing. Just as natural formation and fruit-bearing are measured in the soul, so also being filled is a reality experienced within the soul. The soul's access to the realm of the Holy Ghost intoxicates and influences it, producing a lifestyle textured by the Holy Spirit. A spirit-textured lifestyle becomes the visible evidence of a believer's consistent engagement with the Holy Ghost. This is the fertile ground upon which nature formation and fruit-bearing are made possible. A believer who remains logical, sensual, and self-governed, giving no room for the Spirit, cannot yield spiritually in a manner acceptable to God. Apostle Paul argued that if there is indeed any fellowship in the Spirit, it will be evidenced by believers having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Evidently, a Spirit-filled life is not primarily expressed in outward displays or dramatic shows of religiosity, but in the inward posture of the heart and character. A Spirit-filled life is continually maintained and sustained through communion with the person of the Holy Ghost. In this communion, exchange and transaction with the Spirit becomes possible, keeping the believer attuned to the ways of the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 in Amplified Version. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. TPT Version. And don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, be filled continually with the Spirit of God. The message said, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Said, drink the Spirit of God. Huge drafts of Him. I read it again. Said, don't drink what? Too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge drafts of Him. You know, one thing that we know that sustains the world is the wine that He serves His people. Every man on earth, you know, is tipsy with the wine that the world gives. You know, every man on earth can argue with you and claim that they are in their right senses. When you see a man logically arguing certain points, fighting certain stands, and trying to defend certain realities, you know, you will feel that that man is all right. You feel that he's okay. But really, he's okay because he has drank some wine. You know, the world serves wine to everybody that passes through it. No man is free from that wine. You know, but one thing that we know that the Holy Ghost, you know, begins to do for us is that He begins to deliver us from such wines. Why? Because He brings another wine to the table. See, the truth be told, no man can live on this earth without wine. It's wine for wine. Either you are being wined by the world or you are being wined by the Holy Ghost. You know, that's why when they say don't be drunk with wine when in excess, it's because everything on earth has the power to wine a man. See, there's nothing on earth that is free of wine. Even your work has a wine it can give you. That is why when you are even doing your work, when you are pursuing career, or you are doing other things, there must be a consciousness to detach yourself from the wine that thing gives you. Because you know it, you would have been so wined up that you will forget the real one you're supposed to take. He said, don't be drunk with wine when in excess. The message says it. He says what? It cheapens your life. You know, before who does it cheapen your life? Cheapens your life before spirits. You become cheap. You know, when spirits come, you don't have strength to resist. The resistance you can have is because you have taken another wine. As long as you are drinking the wine they serve, when they bring temptations, you'll be enticed and you will follow. Because enticement is an excitement that is brought by wine. Said every man is enticed of what? His own lust. That lust is a wine. So every man follows the wine that he has taken. So when you have taken so much wine of the world, when temptation comes, you can't say no. You can't stand your ground. You can't refuse them. It's just like a man that wants to buy a person over, begins to give you gifts. At some point, your voice is very loud against his corruption and what he's doing, and you are angry with him, and then he just comes and says, it's not that bad. We can negotiate. Okay, what do you want? And he begins to offer you certain gifts. The truth is, when he begins to receive those gifts, he has bought you over. That when he now comes with his demands, you don't have strength to refuse him. You don't have power to say no. So, three things wine does. Wine is sweet. Wine intoxicates. Wine is addictive. So, the fact that you are taking the wine just simply shows that you will keep on going back to that source. Because wine has a power that keeps bringing you back. How many of you have seen a drunkard?
growing up, there was a drunkard in our street. That man, every night, he comes back drunk. If you meet him on the road, he's singing. He's dancing. That man is a very gentle man. When he's sober, he's very gentle. In fact, I've seen him days he'll be crying that I don't want to drink this thing again. Because he had a family. His wife, I remember at the junction of that street, which is very far from our house, the woman had this grinder. That's what she was using to sustain the family. But the little money the man makes, he would take it at night and go and drink with it. So it became a concern for the woman. She reported him. In fact, my friend had called him, spoken to him. You pity him when they are talking to him. He will look so sober as though nothing will touch his mouth again. But let him step out of that place. That night he will still go and drink. So something keep pulling him back to that thing. When you see him, hey, there's nobody as excited as him. He can walk in the middle of the night, not afraid. But one thing I'm always not sure of is how he will still walk and get to his house. He doesn't forget the address of his house. That man even doesn't sleep on the road. He doesn't sleep in gutter. He still goes home every night drunk. So what I'm trying to say is that when the Holy Ghost now wants to begin to change your wine, because truth be told, no man can walk in this world without drinking. You have to drink something. That place says don't drink wine too much, but drink the Spirit of God. I say in huge drafts. You know what they call drafts? It's not like our own keg that we do now. They're like barrel. Call them gorodom. When you take a cup of wine, you might not get drunk. Nobody gets drunk on just a little dose of wine. You can get tipsy. When a man has a secret he's keeping, just give him wine. He will not know when it begins to spill out. Because he has lost control of his will and his reasoning. Another thing is driving him. That's what they call intoxication. Intoxication means that you are riding on the influence of another. So on a normal, natural day, you will not do certain things, but give you wine. You see that you have changed. You are doing certain things that naturally you cannot do. Now, when the Holy Ghost now wants to begin to break certain arrangements, to detach your tongue from certain wines, and they bring you to church, you know, there is a composure that we have when we come to the house of God. That when you are out there, you are not like that. Because another wine is whining you. So we now bring that same composure into the house of God. That when they are singing songs, you can see pockets. When they are ministering, you can still be looking. You are evaluating the message and trying to design. You have not let yourself out to be filled by another wine. No, that arrangement is very tight. It's the enemy that did it like that. So that he could not be able to break into your configuration. So as long as you stand like that, it will be difficult for you not to keep going back to other wines. That is why when they want to begin to teach you another wine, they introduce you first to baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whereby your mind is suspended, but you are speaking another tongue that you don't understand. I remember the first time I began to speak in tongues, there was a whole lot of warfare in my mind. That guy, you are saying rubbish. I was not really fluent, but I was, as though I was stammering. But I had a lot of battle in my head. What are you saying? Kill us, sir. But one thing that I knew was that God helped me to continue. The enemy does not want you to let you go of the wine he's serving you. That thing is giving you to drink. He wants you to stay there. And he wants to paint the picture that you can never be free from it. As long as you remain there, they cannot change your configuration. Nature cannot be changed except they tamper with the one you are drinking. The one you are drinking has a huge effect on the nature that is formed inside of you. So Holy Ghost comes and introduces tongues to you. Can we say tongues? That is just the beginning. But the fact that you are filled first does not mean that that is the end of filling. In the book of Acts, we can record several instances of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, Acts 4, Acts 10, Acts 19, and so on and so forth. Holy Ghost kept infilling them. Why? Because you cannot be normal and live in this world. If you are normal, you are normal, but you are drinking something else. You cannot be okay and go through this world like that. The world has enough. Can we say the world has enough to intoxicate you already? So the Holy Ghost needs to hedge you in and begin to give you another wine. Begins to change your taste that when the world is bringing his own wine, you can refuse it because it's no longer pleasurable to your tongue anymore. So that infilling is a reculturing of your tongue. Can we say my tongue? Another one. Can we say another wine? You know, we have people that when they taste a wine, they can know how long this wine has been. We just taste wine and say, this 1948 model, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, ah, really? Nobody say wine with a drink. We can see that when you talk about wine, the Holy Ghost wants to wine us up. But he cannot do that by just one filling. So there must be a place, there must be an arrangement we have to constantly be filled by the Holy Ghost. You know, that place that says that be filled with the Spirit is actually a continuous term. That being, can we say being? Is a continual feeling. Why? Because if the Holy Ghost is to lead you, Holy Ghost cannot lead you with the old wine. That is why old wine and old wine skin, they gel together. What will contain the new wine is a new wine skin. So that new wine skin is like nature formation. So Holy Ghost will now begin to come to you so that why? He wants to keep your wine level high so that he wants to lead you. Because whatever wine you have taken is what will lead you. And one thing about the Holy Ghost is that Holy Ghost does not shout above the noise. See, you can have the Holy Ghost, but he will not shout above the noises in your soul. Holy Ghost will not force his way because he wants to lead you. Our last lesson, you know, we're learning about following the leadings and dealings of the Holy Ghost, right? Now, Holy Ghost might want to lead, but if a man does not know how to surrender, does not know how to keep on being filled, it will be difficult for that man to be led. So that's what we want to look at today. So when you begin to speak in tongues, they bring you to church, they are singing worship songs. What they are trying to do is that they are trying to wind you up. Every phase of the service is an increase in the measure of wine being given to you. But you can refuse it. Your posture of heart can say, I don't want it. But when you let yourself, the reason why we are like that is because a wine is telling us that we are more than that. There's the one lying to you that, how can I? Look at how well-dressed I am. How can I be jumping when they are singing? How can I lose myself to the rhythms of the song and sound and allow the Holy Ghost, you know, take me over? How can I? When they are leading prayer, your problems and your difficulties around you. You know, that is a wine that makes you feel that until you think of those problems. I've never asked you that, Kilo Munuedo, what is making you happy? Why are you happy when everything around you is spoiling? Why are you excited when it doesn't look as though there is progress in your life? But your response should be that he that sits in heaven laughs. I don't know what is happening, but I know he that sits in heaven. The way I'm seeing him, what he's doing, that he's laughing. But I cannot be sad in the midst of issues that are happening. Because really, if I'm sad, I cannot help myself. So I rather look to him that is laughing. And when they are looking at you, a song wells up in your spirit. And you begin to sing. And you begin to laugh. And they are looking at you like, "Kilon Shibo boy." Paul and Silas, you know, when they went to that place in the Acts of Apostles, you know, when they cast out that demon from that girl, some certain people incited people against them. They beat them and they locked them up. See, their feet were stuck. You know, that kind of prison is not a prison that you are going about. It's a prison that you stay in one spot. You know, sometimes in your life, you feel like you are stuck in one spot. And then you feel like, what is happening? Is it because I've seen? It might not be a sin. There are certain spirits inciting certain things against you. Something just wants you to be discouraged. You came to a city to preach and you cast out a demon because some people's gain was no longer there. They incited people against you. You know, that kind of thing. You cannot move. You cannot ease yourself. You cannot walk around. You are just firm in one spot. But they say at midnight, say Paul and Silas, say they prayed. And they sang. So in the midst of situations, you should sing. In the midst of situations, you should pray. Why? Because you are much more than that situation. You might not know what is going to happen next, but you know he that sits in heaven. And he that sits in heaven is laughing. You might not know it, but that difficulty is a wine. And it's pouring you wine to drink. And it is beginning to manifest in your emotions. Beginning to manifest in your reasonings. They say there's a sorrow the world gives. And that sorrow leads unto death. So you are drinking sorrow like wine. And you don't know that the Holy Ghost is inside of you screaming and saying, I have another wine. Can you sing? Can you pray? Because that thing that is around you, I have overcome it already. So greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Character of a spirit-filled believer. There are notable characters observed in spirit-filled believers. And this include, number one, speaking to yourselves in psalms. You must be a person that speaks to yourself. When situations are happening, you must speak to yourself. Because if you don't speak to yourself, things are speaking to you. Situations will speak to you. One of the voices your soul must hear is the voice of yourself. But what you are speaking psalms to yourself. The psalmist will tell the soul, why are you disquieted, O my soul? Rejoice in the Lord. Because things that are happening around me are not able. Loquaciousness, foolish jesting, vain speakings are traits of sensual or fleshly souls. So also a believer who is filled with the Spirit will bear the character of prophetic speaking. Psalms are prophetic, poetic utterances inspired by the Spirit, and they serve as one of the primary expressions of a Spirit-filled life. One thing that made the book of Psalms so powerful was an awareness that dawned on David. You know, yesterday I just went to read even the Psalm of Repentance that David wrote. From that Psalm 51, David knew he was talking to a being. David was aware of the presence of who he was talking to. David had understanding of the statute in the law. It was from there he was speaking from. The devil has made us so light that we lack capacity to interact with God. Imagine something happened, you want to ask for forgiveness. What you are saying is, oh, Father God, forgive me what I did, what I know, what I don't know, unconsciously, consciously, you know, omission, commission, just forgive me. Look at when David wanted to craft that psalm. He wanted to repent. And he was speaking doctrine that even when God looked, God said, I just have to forgive this guy. Because by the time he was done talking, God was like, was not just talking gibberish. He began to bring God back to, look at my state. I've seen what you have done. But do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Say, create within me a clean heart. Look at that man. That man was in fellowship. He was aware that he was talking to somebody. It was not a casual, whatever I've done that I don't know of. No. He had an understanding of how to engage God. When David was being pursued by Absalom, he wrote a psalm. When Saul wanted to take his life, he wrote a psalm. That was a life that he was constantly engaging the Holy Ghost. Even in his down moments, he was writing psalms. When he was excited, he was writing psalms. When he was tired and didn't know what to do, he wrote a psalm. Certain point, he will look to constellation and say, sun, moon, and star, praise the Lord. He will speak to nature. After a while, he will leave the earth and enter heaven. And say, cherubims, praise him. How did he know cherubims? Who taught him cherubims? It was a life of fellowship. They opened things up to David. A point came that David was so despaired of life that when he began to speak, he was saying what Jesus would say on the cross. In fact, a time came, he was talking and he entered the throne room and said, what God will say to God? The Lord said unto my Lord, see that. Amen. That's one of the character that we must begin to cultivate. Every situation, we must have a psalm. It only comes from an awareness of the Holy Ghost on your inside. It's not a mental rendition. It's a prophetic utterance inspired by the Holy Ghost. That when certain things happen, you can fetch from within. And you begin to speak to yourself. Amen. I kind of believe that that time when they came to carry the family of David after he went to battle, and he said, and David encouraged himself. I believe it was a psalm. He switched into the spirit. Everything around him was depressing. That's why you cannot be picking psalms and be depressed. When everything around you looks hopeless, you can connect to another thing within. By the time you are done talking, there's an atmosphere around you. By the time you are done talking, something has changed. The situation might still look the same, but there's direction. Amen. This should be done in our closets. The reason why I know it should be done in your closet is that Apostle Paul, when he was talking about believers gathering, said when you come together, so one of you had a psalm. You can come to church with a psalm. You just wake up and then there's a song. You know that this psalm is for Sunday. It's not about the sonorosity of your voice. The reason why God is excited at their praises is not what they are singing. Now, when he entered into the seraphic realm, all of them were crying. They were shouting. Holy, that thing was, they were exuding something. Something was coming out of them. You know, when you are singing, it's not because you can harmonize. Yes, thank God that we can sing and harmonize and bring our soul. You know, but you individually, you don't have an excuse that I don't have a good voice. Sing it like that. Sing it like that. It can be sounding off key, but translating to the spirit. If you can hear what they are hearing, what your soul is giving up, it is perfect harmony. It is perfect harmony. Speaking to yourselves in hymns. This refers to engaging in spirit-inspired worship that declares the greatness, works, and character of God. These utterances are doctrinally rich, God-centered, and focused on exalting the Lord. When believers speak or sing hymns to themselves and one another, they build up faith, stir spiritual affection, and maintain a Godward focus. When you see hymns that were written of old, you know that the men that wrote those hymns, they knew where they were going to. You see him talking about eternal life, him talking about everlasting life, him talking about my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Say, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus. The reason why I know that the generation that the enemy is fighting most is our own and making us lies. If they give one of us to come and write a hymn, it's a hymn about how I didn't have money and how I've made it now. You know, we are just so light that we cannot pierce into the realm of the spirit. You know, Jesus sang a hymn on his way to Gethsemane. He sang a hymn. You know, when you sing those hymns, you know that something rested on these people. Because truth be told, him, he must be somewhere. You must be somewhere to sing that hymn. You know, there was one particular hymn that a man that is blessing everybody, but what bred that hymn was that he lost his family. It is well with my soul. He lost his family. And he was not thinking it. The spontaneity that came out of his mouth was that song. Would have shouted, "Ori Yamio." Tani Moshe. But certain men had certain closeness with the Holy Ghost that there was nothing that the enemy threw at them. When they were pressed beyond measure, what came out was a hymn. When they were pressed on all sides, what came out was a song. Pahagin said, one of the signs that shows that you are spirit-filled is that every morning you wake up with a song. You don't wake up dry. There are certain tunes that attach themselves to you. That when you wake up, that's what he's singing. You should fight it. You must say that throughout today, I must listen to other worship songs. You will subject your ears to hearing worship songs. When you wake up, you should be with a song of thanksgiving. A minister said that before your hand touches the phone, before your feet touch the ground, you should cry out to the Holy Ghost. Before other thoughts begin to speak to you, your first thought should be Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost does not like to be treated like an emergency number. There's a number you can call when there's a situation. We all have the number for fire service people. But we don't call them until there's fire. When you want to take somebody to the hospital in the ambulance, you don't call them all the time. It's when there's an issue you call them. That's how Holy Ghost is to some people. But he said he wants to be a close companion with unbroken fellowship. He doesn't want to be treated like an occasional visitor. He wants to be the owner of the house. Saying in him we live, we move, and have our being. Must be a reality, not just what we see. Spiritual songs, spoken about that. These expressing spirit-inspired songs, often spontaneous and bred by the Holy Ghost. These are not just songs of the flesh, but songs quickened by the Spirit. Often prophetic, devotional, or filled with thanksgiving. They are a hallmark of a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes after they've led worship here, a person will come out and just say, just sing to the Lord. Just sing to the Lord. There should be that possibility of engaging the Holy Ghost and you bring forth spontaneous songs. Personally, you are not having intention of waxing as a record. It's a sacrifice to God. It's new, it's fresh, it's just, as I'm talking, I know there's somebody Holy Ghost is resting upon right now. Holy Ghost is resting upon you right now that you are beginning to find something welling up within you. It's like a song. It's a song of the Spirit, a song of ascent. You know, when you look within, that song is coming. And before you can do this, you have to launch into them by faith. Just like the person that interprets tongues. You know, when you are giving your tongues, he doesn't know the full thing that the Holy Ghost is saying. Well, he might just have one word. He might have a line. He might have two phrases. But he starts with those things that he knows. And as he starts, it begins to increase. The water begins to increase. So you might not even know the lyrics of the song. It might just be la, 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 la that you just heard. And then as you start, it begins to grow. Songs can be birthed in our spirits. You don't need to be in choir to bed songs. You can have a book of songs. Not because you want to sing it to anybody, but it's your devotion to the Lord. You can have rich fellowship. Start by faith. Sing to the Lord. There's a song in the spirit. Ready to be pushed forward by those that are attentive. Because there are noises all around you. There are noises around you. But there's a song welling up in your spirit.
Yeah. Oh, it's high, it's
thank
high,
you.
It's high,
thank
high,
you.
High,
thank
high,
you.
Oh, so high,
thank you.
Oh, so high, oh,
thank
so,
you.
So high.
Thank you.
High,
thank
high,
you.
High,
thank you.
High, oh,
thank
so
you.
High, oh, so
thank
high,
you. Thank 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 you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
For I have desired this. I have desired this. I have desired that my children, my sons and daughters, will come to this place. Will come to this place. Will come to this place. We open themselves up to come to this place. Oh, oh, for I have many songs. I have many, many, many songs that I want to sing to you. I want you to sing to me, and I want to sing to you. I want you to sing. I want you to sing. Oh, that place, that place, that place of feeling. That place of feeling, that place of feeling, that place of feeling. The reason why we gave the Holy Ghost. Many have not come to this. Yet you wonder why David was a man after my heart. You wonder why David was a man after my heart. You wonder why his heart, why was very, very particular about his heart. These were the things that brought him forth. It was the place of songs. The place of coming, the place of worship, the place where there's no music, the place where you can be alone with me, the place where you can allow the Holy Ghost to find expression from your spirit out of your mouth. For I desire many. Oh, this is not a call to be a musician. It's a call for the soul to sing. For you do not know that one of the things I put in the soul is music. Music. I put songs in the soul. For the soul was cultured to bring forth revelation. Oh, it's a song of revelation. It's songs of ascent. I want to find my sons and daughters in this place. Oh, for it has been empty for long. It has been empty for long. The place of communion. The place of communion. Where you, when I can have soul all to myself. It has been empty. Empty in the midst of my people for long. I believe that that sister was giving a demonstration of the Spirit of God in terms of making melody. Singing psalms. It is not given to only the worship leaders. It's actually given to every son and daughter. You know, to be able to come to that place where you can actually wake up and you can allow a flow of the spirit. God's people, what I saw as he was teaching was the very clear thought that this is how even hearts are made. You wonder why your heart yields to the wine of the world easily. These are the things that will wind you up. The reason why you are not yielding is because you are not singing. The reason why you are not yielding is because you are not coming. The reason why you find it difficult to make steps is because you are not coming. You know, I believe that there's a baptism that the Lord has brought upon us as a people. I believe that there's a strength. And you know, you won't feel like this when it's only you. You won't feel like this. But what you do is that you take steps and you begin to respond to the Lord. Now, it doesn't matter whether you are sounding like a croaking frog. All you know is that your soul is singing to the Lord. For your soul does magnify the Lord. Your soul does magnify the Lord. For my spirit bless his holy name. God wants us to bring forth psalms in every season of our lives. He wants us to bring forth songs. It's not that thing. It's an understanding. It comes from an understanding of you knowing what God is doing with you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost, we acknowledge you. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you. This wine will increase. This wine will increase. This wine will increase. It will increase. Even in personal devotions, it will increase. Even in personal communions, it will increase. There will be a dissatisfaction. A dissatisfaction in our hearts. There will be a cry of our hearts. A longing. A longing. A deep-seated longing. For you, Holy Ghost. For you, Holy Ghost. Oh, to bring songs. Beat on the strings of our hearts. Oh, singing and making melody in your heart. Singing and making melody in your heart. Amen. It's not merely about vocal music. It's about a heart in harmony with the Spirit. Continually resonating with love, joy, and reverence for God. It's an inward spiritual posture where the believer maintains a heart full of worship, gratitude, and communion with the Lord. This deals with murmurings and complainings. This deals with every unwanted thing in the heart. Giving of thanks, Colossians 3:17. Giving of thanks refers to the continual acknowledgement and verbal expression of gratitude to God for his goodness, mercy, and faithfulness. It is more than good manners. It is a spiritual discipline and a clear sign of a heart that recognizes and is aligned with the will of God. Scripture says we should give thanks always. You know, irrespective of the situations, you know, one thing that they say is the will of God is giving of thanks. And they call it the fruit of our lips. You don't think thanks, you speak thanks. It's a fruit of your lips. You express it in the face of everything that is staring at you. You shout it on the rooftops. You give thanks to God. Say, God is good. Say, his mercies endure forever. Even when you are going through situations of hunger, situations of thirst, contradictions in your life, know that God is good and his mercies endure forever. So giving of thanks is not optional. It's a necessity for everyone that would journey in the Spirit. Because that thing is an opening up of your heart that you recognize that God is present. And God is exceedingly able to do much more than you can ever ask or think. No, there is a power that is at work when you give thanks. By Hagin, in one of his books, you know, he wrote and said there was a woman, you know, that had smallpox all over her body. And back then, there was no cure for smallpox. You know, they just had to isolate you so that you would not spread it. Then they isolated her. And then she was praying. She was a missionary. And she fell into a trance. And then they showed her a weighing scale. An old weighing measure. The way that weighing scale is. And then she said she saw prayer stacked up high, full. And prayer was almost dropping to the ground. But thanksgiving, just few drops. So thanksgiving was hanging in the air. And she heard a clear instruction that when your praise equals your prayer, you are healed.
Shambaba hawatini bo hapuku. Ebu ne habinu hudimini hudimi hubu. Ebu. 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 Ebu kun. Ebu kun. Ibu kun. Ibu kun. Ejeko kun. Ejeko kun. Ejeko kun. Ejeko kun. Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up with thanksgiving. Fill it up with thanksgiving, and the blessings will come. And the blessings will come. The blessings will rest. The blessings will rest. The blessings will rest. Bring forth. Bring forth. Bring forth your petitions, but also bring forth those thanksgivings. Bring forth those thanksgiving. Fill it up. Fill it up. Fill it up. And watch the blessing rest. Watch the blessing rest. I will full your blessing. I will cause your blessing to be full, said the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we shall thank you, Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.